You're listening to audio from The Village Church, a community that's formed by the gospel and sent on God's mission, gathering weekly in the heart of downtown Hamilton, Ohio. For more information about The Village or to connect with us, you can find us online at myvillagechurch.com.
Hey guys, good morning. My name's Adam. I'm one of the pastors there and one of the stars in the show. I probably watched that video no less than 20 times over the last two or three weeks. It just brings back so many good memories, but I don't know if you noticed that last scene, there was veins popping out of the top of my head. That's not normal. Then or now, we just got back from retrieving some water from a creek, and we were all sitting down and recovering. And at that point, I wasn't sure which way it was going to go, but thankfully I recovered. And that was just one of the many kind of eye-opening experiences we had on that trip. This morning, we're going to take a brief pause from journeying through Exodus together to spotlight missions, to spotlight what we're doing around Global Go, and really excited just to celebrate the experience that we had down there. So towards the end, I'll speak for a few minutes, and then towards the end, I'm going to invite some of the others that are here this morning that were on that trip to join me up and to share some of their experience as well. But really, my intent for this morning is not unlike any other Sunday morning. I want to stir our affections for who God is, for what he's done, and for what he's called us into. And that's his mission, to be spread to the ends of the earth through our lives. And so hopefully we'll accomplish that this morning. We have a lot to get to, so I'm just going to jump right in. Mission statements are a powerful tool for organizations. It's an exciting place to start, right? That's where you were hoping I would start. Mission statements are a powerful tool for an organization. They seek to summarize the aims and the value of any organization, company, or individual. Here at the Village Church, as an organization, we have a mission statement. We are a gospel-formed church community sent on mission, say it with me, to make, mature, and multiply disciples of Jesus. Hopefully that's not the first time that you've heard that if you've been here. If you work for a company, it's highly likely they have a mission statement. I've worked for Humana for the last 16 years. Their current mission statement reads like this: Humana is committed to improving the health and well-being of our members, our associates, the communities we serve, and our planet. We are dedicated to the building an inclusive organization of diverse people whose experience and passion center on putting the customer first. That is a mouthful. So if you summarize it, it reads like this: our mission is to help people achieve lifelong well-being. It's pretty good, right? I know people, and you may know people, that have mission statements for their families or individual mission statements. That's a little aggressive for me. I think they're important, but that's a little aggressive for me. But it just kind of highlights the point that these statements are really important, and they create clarity of purpose. And also the mission statement, in some ways, it can be a baseline that we can track our progress against. So how are we doing advancing that mission as we've articulated in the statement? How much of our resources, our organizational resources, are actually, we can point to, are to advance that statement? And they can also be an indicator for us to maybe course correct. Maybe we're not prioritizing the way that we should, or even refine that mission statement as organizations grow and mature. We recently did that as an eldership team as well, and it was super helpful for just how we articulate what we're about here at the Village. But at the end of the day, if done well, mission statements should drive the who and the what of any organization. And when those things get out of line, that's when organizations can get unhealthy and drive unhealthy cultures. This is just, it's just true. The overarching story that the Bible is telling is of a God on mission. He's pursuing people for himself. And as a church, it's important for us to continually be grounded in this story, because there is no more important mission to be found on earth or to spend our days pursuing. And that brings me to the main idea this morning, which should be up on the screen. God's mission is to rescue all his creation back to himself. focal passage. I'm going to read it again. It's found in John chapter 20, if you have your Bibles, beginning in verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me." A.W. Tozier has a quote that maybe many of you have heard. "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." So for me, this begs the question, maybe we can self-reflect some this morning. What comes to your mind when you think about God? And maybe a more important question, where does that come from? What has shaped your view of God the most over the years? And does it change if it's good times or bad times? When things are going well for you, or if we're experiencing suffering and disappointment, do those images change? Or maybe you're here this morning and you don't believe, or you don't know if you believe in this God, but you still likely have an image when you hear the word God. Where does that come from? In John chapter 14, Jesus is with his disciples. It's a really fun chapter to read if you have time to read it. But he's telling them that he's going away. He's going to prepare a place for them. They know the way. He's the way. And you can tell the disciples are just like, "What are you saying, Jesus? Like, we have no idea." And I want to pick this up in verse 8. And it says, "Philip said to him, 'Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us.' And Jesus said to him, 'Have I been with you so long and you still don't know me, Philip?'" I almost think that Jesus is saying those words, but man, I can see the Father saying those directly to Philip. "Have you been with me so long that you don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me and does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the words themselves. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." All of Scripture, and now through the very mouth of Jesus, he's declaring himself to be the perfect representation of God. I don't think he means the perfect physical representation of God. If you've seen me, this is the perfect physical representation of God, but he's pointing to his nature, his character, and his action in the world. And so what do we see in Jesus? We see a God in pursuit of his glory and a people on earth to be his bride. We see a ravenous lover rescuing a people to himself and empowering them to pursue others even to the ends of the earth. And this isn't new with Jesus as he shows up in the Gospels, as if he's representing a different God in Scripture. But this is the culmination of all that has been in motion from eternity past. This is a testimony of Scripture. God is a missional God. In Jesus, the Father incarnated himself into his creation in order to rescue and redeem it, to restore it back to himself. He took a mission trip from heaven to earth to bring heaven to earth. It truly was global go. He didn't just get on a plane and leave his comfort and culture. In Jesus, the divine took on flesh. The infinite took on the finite. The omnipotent experienced powerlessness and even death to absorb and reverse all that had gone wrong in his good creation, and to strip the virus of sin of its power. In the beginning of Joshua Ryan Butler's book called The Pursuing God, he describes this vision that he had. And he talks about this artist that is poring over this masterpiece. And he describes the beauty of the painting, of what he's seeing, and the colors, and how the passion that this painter has on a wall-shaped canvas, or on a wall-sized canvas, which is bordered by an ornate gold frame. And he says as the painter finishes up the masterpiece, it's as if he stepped back and said, "It is good." And then he goes on to describe what he didn't expect to happen, that all of a sudden at the center of the masterpiece, there's a dark spot. And he said he starts to see the dark spot of mold and decay begin to spider web out like a cracked windshield. And he sees the fissures and the fractures seeking to destroy the painting as they reach the border of the canvas. And we'll pick it up right here where he says, "What happened next was the strangest, most bizarre thing I had ever have expected. The artist lifted his leg, extended it forward, and stepped into the painting. First his leg entered the canvas, then his torso, and finally his head. Then with a whoosh, the integration was complete. The artist stood within the work his hands had made at the center of the masterpiece." That was weird, I thought. But even stranger was what happened next. The moldy rot began to attack the artist. The great painter had positioned himself in such a way that the central point of the invasion was right over his heart. As the tentacles retreated from the cornered edges, they sank into the artist himself. Blow by blow, the creator received the corruption at the core of his masterpiece. Until finally, with a whoomp, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, it was gone. The masterpiece was restored. The artist had absorbed the destructive power until it was extinguished. And to my surprise, however, the great painter didn't step back out of the painting. Having united his life with the canvas, he remained permanently at the center of his restored masterpiece. In a way, however, restored doesn't seem like the right word, because the work was now even more glorious with his presence inside. He brought radiance and beauty such that the painting seemed to glow with his life. There was a sense that it was always the way it was intended to be. The artist at the center of his painting. This was the true masterpiece. The artist at the center of his painting. This is the true masterpiece. From the foundation of the world, from all of eternity, God's purpose and plan was to exalt himself in the person of Jesus Christ. It was a missional plan all along, the most epic love story ever told of a king turned groom laying down his life for his bride. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells three parables in succession: a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. A lost sheep, he leaves the 99 to go find the one, only to, when he finds him, put the sheep on his shoulders, takes him back to celebrate with friends and neighbors. A lost coin, she has 10, she loses one, only to sweep the house when she finds the coin, inviting friends and neighbors to celebrate. And the lost son, picture of a father rejected by his son, squanders all of his inheritance, only to continue to long for his son to return home. And once he returns home, to bring together family and friends to celebrate because his lost son had been found. In all three of these examples, lost means loved. Lost means pursued and being searched for by a loving, merciful, good, and holy Father. Lost means God's pursuit is calling us out of hiding, because that is what he is, And that's what he does. God is not hiding. I think sometimes we think that God is hiding or that God is lost. God is not lost. We are the ones that are hiding. So the question isn't, where is God? The question is, do you want to be healed? The question is, do you really want to know him? And once this reckless love of the Father embraces you, once you experience it, you can't help but share it, even to the ends of the earth. So number one, the mission is rooted in God's identity. And number two, the mission has a church. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. On May 8th, 2021, at 2 a.m., a group of us met just upstairs in the parking lot of the 210 to start our trek towards Los Chilitos, Guatemala. We had seen pictures, we'd heard stories about the culture in the village. We had met several times as a group to plan what we'd be doing in our short week there. We wanted to be encouraged. We wanted to come alongside what God was already doing through the people in that place. We wanted to trust the Spirit, to share the gospel, to show up in a way that would have eternal impact. That is our calling, church. Not to a program, not to an event, not to even a trip in a moment in time, but to see that we have already been graciously invited into the unfolding mission to love and redeem and restore all things back to the Father. The church exists to join Jesus in the ongoing mission of God by the power of his Spirit, and God's mission is to rescue all of creation back to himself. He's already at work all around us. If you're a Christian and you're here this morning, he's already pursued you and he's found you and he continues to pursue you by his Spirit, shaping you more and more into the image of his Son. And he's inviting you into that work. In that book, The Pursuing God, Joshua Ryan Butler, he summarizes a key idea at the end of each section of the book. And he usually does it with a caricature statement, kind of a distorted statement, and then a gospel statement. And at the end of one of those sections, the caricature statement is, the church is a collection of individuals pursuing God together. The gospel statement is, the church is a body of people through whom God pursues the world. Sometimes I think that Sunday mornings we should just awkwardly look around at each other, reminding ourselves of what God has done for us, but then also what he is doing in and through us. Because Jesus has entered the painting and he's absorbed the power of sin, we get to trust and join him on the mission. So you want a true adventure. Man, follow Jesus. Obey him. Listen to his voice. Allow the Spirit to embolden you to live and proclaim a different kind of kingdom. God's mission is to rescue all of his creation back to himself, and his mission has a church. Now I'm going to invite some of the folks that were there on the trip that week to come to the front and join me up on stage. We're going to have a lot of moving pieces happening right now. But really, the intent of this time is, man, for these guys to share a little bit about what their experience was there, what they saw God doing in and through them and the church, and just to encourage you guys and get excited about the work that's going on in Guatemala. And while they're kind of putting all this stuff together, I wanted to share a couple of things from my experience. So One of the cool things that as I reflected, my 16-year-old daughter, Kylie. Say hi, Kylie. She got to go with us on the trip. And as a dad, traveling to Guatemala with her 16-year-old and watching her build into and invest and share and be stretched out of her comfort zone brought me so much joy I can't even describe. It felt like I had just a little glimpse of what God sees when we step out and trust Him all the more. And then we had planned and prepped kind of what it was going to be like, and Michael did a great job kind of helping prepare the team for what to expect when we went down there. But the first day, we got there Sunday night, and the first day, Monday morning, we made it to the village, and they said, hey, we're going to go visit houses. So there was a team of people that went, and four or five of us were in my group, and we were in a home of an unbeliever, and ECL, which was, he leads the worship down there, he was preaching to her from the scriptures, and we were following along, and you know, we were getting some of it translated back to us. And then about 10 or 15 minutes, he stops and says, anybody want to share? You know, I was like, oh gosh, this is the moment. I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready. Wes Vandenbark, who is not here, was sitting right next to me, and he began to share his testimony in a way that I was blown away. It was like God's Spirit was speaking directly through him. It was powerful and relevant, and the whole room, I think, experienced the presence of God in and through him sharing. And at one point, when we were flying down there, he drew a picture of a butterfly. And I don't know, Wes draws a lot, and he was drawing a picture of a butterfly. And in that moment, in the middle of his sharing, he reaches into his bag, and he pulls out the pad that he had drawn, and he rips it off. And again, in all this emotion, he goes up to her and he says, I drew this for you, to the host. And I'm going, what is that? What? Did he draw that for her? Like, did he know? I mean, in that moment, that was what I was thinking. And he walks through the process of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. And God, built into the very nature is the gospel. And I'm going, oh, like, I'm goosebumps. I got back and Michael was like, hey, what went on? I'm like, Wes, like, said all this stuff. And super powerful to be a part of what God was doing in that moment and to see in a very tangible way God using our group. And so it was really, really cool. Now I want to shift to these guys and really, I may stand, we'll see. And really like kick it to Michael. On the screen here, we have five convictions where we kind of outline partnerships and how we think about Global Go. Maybe you could kick around, you know, what these things are and how you see them kind of intertwining with Los Cholitos and that partnership.
Yeah, real quick. So about 4 years ago, I think, 4 years ago, we had some global partnerships that we decided to kind of just, well, some of them kind of broke naturally, and then we decided to like kill the partnership, not the partner, but kill the partnership. And we got together and we prayed and we listened, and many of you all were in rooms in the huddle room and just trying to figure out what it looked like for us to, in a more healthy way. We never want to just write checks and just, hey, you know, like they're a global partner, we send the check, you know, the monthly payment so that the mission goes forth. But we wanted to figure out what it looked like to do that in a healthy way, and we're still figuring that out. But these five things were kind of birthed out of that. I just want to hit on them real quickly. To mutually learn and grow. If you hear us talk about Global Go, what you're going to hear me say immediately after that is we get to learn from, invest in to the ends of the earth. So every time we got together and we talked about what we're doing, it was never about, hey, what are we going to give them that they don't have? And we talked about resources, and you all sent them some books and lots of other stuff that was helpful. But we're always learning how, we don't know anything, we can't even speak their language, and so we want to learn from them, and I think that we did. And then in any way that God has blessed us, gifted us, resourced us, that we can come alongside them, and we want to invest in them to the ends of the earth. And so what that meant is that we kind of tightened up, and we said, shirt, Adam.
Call me.
So reached out to X29 Latin America director and said, hey, is there someone that we could come alongside? They connected us to a guy named Mitch. And I'll tell you more about that in just a second. The second thing, to prioritize opportunities that aim at establishing and strengthening the local church. Adam kind of hit on this. Actually, he only just said this. This is what he just said. Yeah. But from the beginning, the primary missionary strategy of God to do all that Adam just talked about was healthy churches multiplying healthy churches. Healthy disciples multiplying disciples, and out of that growing churches. And so we might spotlight, or we might point you to, we know some people sponsor children through Lemonade International in Guatemala as well, and we want to do that, come alongside nonprofits in helpful ways. But what we're going to do is we're going to invest in the local church, being the local church at a place that's not here. Third, and these are kind of sequential in some sense, to raise up indigenous leadership. Mitch and Amanda, they moved to Guatemala about 9 years ago from Texas and Florida, respectively. They showed up with nothing, literally nothing, and talked to a guy and got a place to stay for a week, and eventually got a vehicle, and they started going to this village, sharing the gospel. People responded, and from that, disciples multiplied, and from that, a church grew. So that's how that happened. But Mitch is not about not about being the guy forever, and so they've been investing in, and hear me when I tell you this, you all have been investing in a guy named Cayetano, and so he can read. Writing is a little whatever when it comes to Acts 29 assessment, but Cayetano, even right now, is going through the Acts 29 assessment to be an Acts 29 church planter in Los Chalitos, and Mitch might be there for 6 months or a year or 5 years, but his goal is to let Cayetano lead that thing because he's best equipped to do that. So that's what it means when we talk about raising up indigenous leadership. We don't want to be a bunch of Americans showing up, showing people how to do what they do in their own city. Four, to enter into long-term sustainable relationships, and I'll kind of add to that, and to ensure partners are trustworthy. And again, I'll point to Acts 29 in a global sense, that we don't have to say, we do have theological statements that we want to make sure that we're aligned with as well, but if someone is an assessed and commissioned Acts 29 church planter, we know what that means, and so we want to be a part of long-term investments in a people, in a particular place that we know that we can trust, and certainly that's theologically, but also in the way that they do mission. And so that's kind of where that comes from. I could talk forever. I won't. Kylie, you're up.
It's great. I just asked these guys to share a couple of highlights from the trip, like I said earlier, so we're just going to kind of come down the line here.
Okay. So I've never been out of the country, let alone to a small village on the side of a mountain. And I don't know. I don't know what I expected from it, but it was not anything that I expected. And I definitely think going in, me being the only kid, I had a different outlook on it. I related more to the teenagers there and the little kids. I mean, because they're the same as me, just in a different situation. I think something that really stuck out to me was the way that their church interacted as a whole. The first night that we were there in the village for the church service, here at the village, they do, a couple songs, the sermon, and then a couple more songs. But there it was an hour of singing, and obviously I did not understand a single word that was being said, but it was really beautiful because, I was looking around and there would be little kids with their hands raised or teenagers just with their eyes closed and really getting into it. And it was really moving. I felt God's presence there. We obviously gave up passing of the peace a while ago, but they
passed the peace.
They really did. Everybody, it was... I felt kind of bad. My hands were really sweaty. I was nervous. And but it's okay. And then definitely, they also did a youth group, we do here. But we were decorating for Mother's Day. I didn't even know we were decorating for Mother's Day. We just were decorating the church. And just interacting with them, people my age, obviously there was a language barrier, but it was really cool. They started playing Justin Bieber. They started playing Baby by Justin Bieber, and they were, like, staring at me as I was, like, they were, like, I don't know, it was really funny. We talked to some of the, there were some gap year people there, and they were, like, they play this every time, you know, a group comes. They think it's still relevant. And I was, like, it is relevant. but, I don't know, it was really cool to just, like, be there and, like, feel God, like, working through me, but also I wasn't doing anything different. You know, I was just, like, talking to them and interacting. It was really cool.
That's great.
So for me, it was just really cool to, like, work with these guys, like, come alongside, like, my village family. And like Michael said, like, we were coming to, like, work alongside the people in the village. Like, we weren't just coming in to, like, build them something and then take off. Like, we were there to, like, work with them. And so it was, like, it was just really cool. Like, for the Mother's Day service, they wanted, like, a balloon arch. And Wes was, like, let me make you a balloon arch. Like, he literally went out, found some sticks, and, like, made a balloon arch. There's the balloon arch. Like, and then, like, it was just really cool to watch Michael the first night we were there, and then on Wednesday night just give a sermon to a congregation that does not speak any English. Like, I've been with Michael for a long time, and so I was just, like, really proud, like, watching Michael, like, speak to this small village. And just an experience that I had that I just will never forget is with Kylie. We were in this house that was at least 300 degrees. Like, I was pretty sure that's where we were gonna die, like, just in this house. But it was just really cool because we were just in this house that was so hot, just sharing the gospel with a few of the ladies that lived there. I mean, we couldn't speak the language, so we were with a group of other people that, like, could speak the language. But so it was just a blessing to get to serve with these guys and just watch them serve with the people in the village.
So great.
So we may have all changed our mind about going on this trip had they told us we were going to have to do this. All of us are like, wait, what, we have to talk in front of everyone about Guatemala? But for real.
So this is a requirement next time, next trip. You will be on stage, and you will have to communicate what happened.
But no, seriously, the first thing that came to mind when he was asking us to share a highlight was kind of what Kylie talked about. The first night we were there, we were part of the service, and we hadn't ever talked to these people yet, hadn't hung out with them, and it didn't feel like we were strangers in a foreign land, even though we were, because they were very welcoming, they were very friendly, they were, like, hugging us, shaking our hands, attempting to communicate with us, even though we knew very little Spanish. And it was just really cool to see that though we were these weirdos from America, it didn't feel like that, and they were very just loving people. And you could just tell we had that connection in Christ, you know, as the family of God. It didn't matter that we were from a foreign land. So that was awesome. I think the other thing that stands out to me with the week is that we just saw as the week went on that the church really was kind of like a hub for that village. Mm. And it really was a place that, like, was a catalyst for community. And so I think that was really cool to see that, you know, he was just talking about Mitch and Amanda coming to Guatemala knowing nothing. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know anybody. And then now there's this church in this village that really is meeting a need. It is a place where people gather and then they scatter and more people are knowing Jesus because of it. And it's community for them. I mean, it was just really cool to see all of that kind of take place. I think we all just really liked getting to know the people there. Even though it was really hard language-wise, I sort of felt like it was good for me to feel uncomfortable with language because it's not a situation we're in very often, and sometimes we can be less empathetic towards people here when you have those barriers. But anyways, I think it was really good to just get to know the people and be in their homes. We were a lot of times just in their home, and they welcomed us into their home, and it was cool to see where they lived. And we would help them with their daily tasks, and so we knew what their life was like kind of day to day, and we would hear their stories, we shared our stories, and I think that was just a really awesome experience, just to experience a different way of life and know these people that we never knew before, but it felt like we were friends by the end, so it was really sweet.
It was a joy to get to go on the trip with this group that I don't know if any of us would have picked it out this way, but we're so glad that it happened this way. There's two other folks that weren't here. I mentioned Wes Vandenbark. Man, he was a rock star the whole week. And then Jeremy Wallen was another one that we could tell stories about that guy, and we won't do it. But, man, what an encouragement that those two were on our trip as well. Michael, do you want to?
I just want to say, yeah, if you would have said, hey, seven people are going to Guatemala from the village, who are they? Never would I have written these seven people. I just wouldn't have. Ragtag band of misfits is what we were. Sweet thing. And I just wanted to publicly thank Tammy. Yeah. Long story, we had a mission, a sending agency that like didn't survive COVID and all kinds of stuff. So basically it was me and Mitch planning all of this stuff, but really became Tammy planning all this stuff. And so Tammy did, she talked to Delta for hundreds of hours and waited on, she did a whole bunch of stuff to make sure that we were able to go. And then she didn't say this, like she wasn't even going until a week, or was it 2 weeks before?
2 weeks,
2 weeks before, someone dropped out and was like, Tammy, you've been to every huddle. You know more than I know. Like, just please, Matt, we'll be fine. And she went. And so I thank you, Tammy, for all of your work. We can clap for Tammy.
So I'm gonna dismiss these guys now and really invite you guys into several things. So we said a lot there. There should be a slide that comes up. And really, three things. Man, we're inviting you to pray, to give, and to go. And really just pray for the village of Los Chilitos. Pray for Global Go and what we're doing there. Pray for other opportunities for folks to join the mission. Give. Man, give. If you're not giving to a local church, we'd love for you to give to what God is doing here. I'm also going to probably send out some information and some links on Realm, some bios of the leaders down there. We mentioned a few of them up here this morning, ways that you can support them in the future as well. And then go, man, encourage you just to go across the street to your neighbor, to if you work, if you're on the soccer field or the baseball field, God wants to use you, that you would go and that you would love and serve people in the name of Jesus, and that you would call them to Christ.